Well, this week we've spent some time talking about some of the news stories we will be following as we go into this year of 2024. But I also want to share some news stories that the mainstream media seldom ever discusses.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got a few news stories I'd like to share with you today. Some regarding how people look at this world and climate change, a different perspective, also what to expect monetarily. Are we a world on the brink of possible war? These are topics I want to talk about a little bit here in the first part of the program today. I think this year, for me, is going to be a strange year. Toward the end of 2024, I turned 70. And I have a hard time, I really have a hard time thinking that, am I going to be that old? I remember turning 40, and I thought that 70 seemed like a billion years away. But where have these 30 years gone? And they have just flown by so quickly. We do this radio program for a reason. And it's not that it's my occupation. It's not the way I make my living. It's because God has just simply laid it on my heart to do this radio program on shortwave as an alternate voice to those that can hear it. I don't make a living doing this. I know some people that do radio programs, and that's how they make their living. And I have no objection to that whatsoever. I know many that make a living and have quite a bit of expense in doing a radio program. We have expense on this one too, but our expense is simply the airtime. And we don't spend a whole lot of time on the program talking about the financials. I just don't like to delve into that too much. But I will share a little bit during the first segment of what it takes to keep on the air and what I hope to achieve during 2024 to increase the outreach. Now, I want to begin some of the news stories that are in front of me with one that you'll never, I mean, you will never hear this from the mainstream media. You really won't even hear that much about it in some of the alleged conservative media. When it comes to this topic of climate change, there are a lot of people that are completely sold into the idea that human beings are destroying the planet, we're going to change the climate, we're going to make a permanent drought, on and on it goes. And I look at where the scientists come from that make the claims and who funds them. It seems that there's just a group that controls the narrative. And a lot of what we're being told in our public schools, many of our colleges and universities, and the mainstream media, a lot of what we are told about the climate, and in particular CO2, is a bunch of, well, malarkey. It's not true. It is not scientifically true. And yet we're being told to believe junk and phony science on faith because, well, the UN and all these organizations say that it's people destroying the planet, and we must fix it. We have entered, as an article I read recently said, we are in uncharted territory when our own life is under siege. And you'll look at places like Oxford University, and they're saying time is up, you know, man is destroying the planet. Yet you look over the history of this planet, what we do know, and nothing could be farther from the truth. You're buying into a lie. You are buying into a lie. We keep hearing about CO2, CO2, CO2 is a greenhouse gas, CO2 is too high. We're going to die because of CO2, CO2, more CO2, carbon footprint. We hear this repeatedly. Number one, we are carbon-based beings. Our plant life is carbon-based. So how can carbon be our enemy in a carbon-based planet? We've been told we're going to have water and food shortages and extreme heat and on it goes. Yet the world has seen extreme heat, extreme cold over the past several thousands of years. And we're told that burning fossil fuels, that's another lie I get sick of hearing. Anytime you hear somebody use the term fossil fuel, you are dealing with an idiot. There is no such thing as a fossil fuel the way they're trying to lead you to believe that it is. The term fossil fuel goes back a few hundred years ago, literally, to Russian scientists that thought that maybe oil, because it was found so near the surface of the earth, was decaying dinosaurs or decaying something or other, and thus the name fossil fuel or a fossil combustible. And yet we keep finding these so-called fossil fuels hundreds and then thousands of feet below the surface. We must have had a lot of dinosaurs running around in Saudi Arabia. We must have had a lot of dinosaurs running around in the northern part of Canada. We must have had a lot of dinosaurs in Alaska for this to be a fossil fuel. Which, if it was a fossil fuel, then that tells me the world was a lot warmer a long time ago before we had mankind wandering around the planet. So once again, we are told to eliminate our common sense, not think critically or pragmatically or logically, and just believe what we're being told, hook, line, and sinker. The United Nations, the World Economic Forum, various governments, they all share this garbage that CO2 is too high. And honestly, in looking at some materials that are out there, you will find that CO2 has been radically higher in past centuries than it ever is today. Many people, and myself included, believe so much of this is actually a big scam. I can't find any evidence that CO2 is responsible for climate change over these eons of years. To say we don't need CO2 is one of the dumbest things you'll ever say. All of our plant life needs CO2, carbon dioxide. All plant life, all trees, those crops growing in the field, all need CO2. And as they process the CO2, what is their waste byproduct? Oxygen. And what do we do with the oxygen? We take it, breathe it, and give it back as CO2. It's kind of this back and forth symbiotic relationship. And to say we need to eliminate CO2 is just pure madness, insanity. And we're told lie after lie after lie, and they sit there on the television set, these talking heads, and they just keep spouting it as that it's settled science. I can remember Al Gore saying, the science is settled. Yet most of the things that he claims should have happened by now never have. The man's just a liar, a fake, a fraud, and a profiteering guy. You know, he's just making money on this con. Millions upon millions of dollars. Former vice president, former conservative Democrat Al Gore sold his soul to his party, gave up his pro-life position, jumped into the climate change bandwagon, and figured ways of making hundreds of millions of dollars, selling the world a scam. And he travels the globe, you know, going to these global warming conferences that have to be canceled because of snowstorms and ice storms. I mean, this is the kind of idiotic nonsense that we're being told is going on. 100 years ago, they always tell us more people are going to die because of climate change. Well, and the bad weather. Worldwide, they figure back 100 years ago, you had getting close to 500,000 climate-related deaths. And now it's only about 14 or 15,000. And CO2 is always laid out as the culprit. I'm looking at a picture in front of me. This comes from a newspaper, the Epoch Times. And I'm looking at this. And this is a greenhouse in Japan. This picture was taken about, maybe 12 years ago, where they're beginning to grow rose bushes. And in order to get these roses to grow so well, they've got this greenhouse, and overhead, they've got all these air conditioning ducts dropping CO2. In other words, they're increasing the level of CO2 in the greenhouse. And all the plants are thriving. Funny thing is, even with all that CO2 in the room, the plants are expelling massive amounts of oxygen. So if you work in there, you actually feel better. We think that up and down parts per million of CO2 has literally been as high as 2,000 or more parts per million over time. And the lowest we figure during the extreme glacial periods and interglacial ice age, it dropped down to about 180. And before the Industrial Revolution and still being in the mini ice age, it was around 300. Now it's about 400 parts per million. Nowhere near the 2,000 or more that it has been over the centuries. To put this in perspective, CO2 is 0.042% of the atmosphere right now. 0.042%. And the fact of the matter is plants would prefer to be around 1,500 parts per million for optimum growth. We're starving our plants. Commercial greenhouse growers worldwide, they up the CO2 level in their massive industrial greenhouses to between 800 and 1,200 parts per million. And it helps the new budding plants survive. When you go this coming spring, if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, and start buying bedding plants or things to plant in your garden, in some of those cases, some of these expensive ornamentals were in greenhouses where they had CO2 to give them a good kickstart. Then we're told that the earth is warming. Well, we were told 50 years ago the earth was cooling and man was to blame. So we have to give up our bad ways or we're going to have snow in Miami every year. Well, that turned out not to be true. Well, Bob, glaciers are melting. Well, guess what? They've been melting for thousands of years. Don't give me this nonsense. I mean, what do you think created the Great Lakes? They just happened. Temperature and CO2. Look, you go back about 1,000 years ago, maybe a little more, there are parts of northern England where they were growing grapes and they had vineyards and they had farming that you cannot do now because it is too stinking cold. And yet the governments of this world are selling this junk science, trying to convince you and me that CO2 is the enemy. They got kids brainwashed in the public schools that mommy's SUV is going to kill the planet and we have to do something. And what they don't tell you is when that parts per million starts getting below 300, it begins to negatively impact plant life severely. And when it gets below a certain point, plant life just dies. We're near the edge of where CO2 should be. And in light of factual truth, you have complete idiots and morons, reprobates and buffoons running around talking about the climate. The Biden administration chose as their climate emissary or climate czar failed presidential candidate and total, you know, liar, John F. Kerry. And John F. Kerry thinks he is so important that he needs to fly in private jets all over the globe with a big carbon footprint to save the planet from carbon. And he made a statement not that many weeks ago at one of the recent summits held in the Middle East, where he said, in order to save the planet, now listen to me, I said this the other day, and I want the weekend audience, some that don't get a chance to hear it during the week, as we are on a couple of additional frequencies on the weekend and other parts of the world. John F. Kerry made the following statement, and no matter how many times you tell it over and over again, it just gets worse. John F. Kerry said, "We need to reduce farming to save the planet so people will not starve." Let me say that again. John F. Kerry says we need to dramatically reduce farming to save the planet and keep people from starving. Now say that to yourself two or three times. We need to reduce or eliminate lots of the farming so people don't starve to save the planet. None of it makes any sense. How do you save the planet from anything? How do you keep people from starving when you don't farm? And the mainstream media hears a statement like that, and they don't have the common sense that God gave seafood, and they don't see how ridiculous it sounds. This entire climate agenda is really about control. Go back to 2016. 195 countries entered into an agreement called the Paris Accord. And this accord with all these countries involved was a legally binding agreement aimed at reducing what they call the global greenhouse gas emissions. All it's going to do is destroy industry, destroy crops, destroy nations, destroy your ability to make a living. All of this talk about renewables, it all sounds good, but it's not ready for prime time. And I have my doubts that wind is going to really be an efficient source. You know, it's subject to the wind speeds and the variations. Its maintenance, its cost to build and operate, is it really where we need to be? Solar, I believe, has a legitimate place in all of this. And as time goes on, and I've watched how solar panels have been improved over the past 30 to 40 years, we've come a long way. And I believe we will continue to come a long way. But one of the issues still is what has to be mined, strip mined, I might add, to even create these solar panels. And the climate change activists, they say we can't, you know, we got to make sure that we don't raise the average temperature by more than like 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's just about 3 degrees, roughly speaking. Is 3 degrees going to destroy the Earth? No. There was a time when we were much higher than that, before mankind had any industry, any tailpipe emissions out of SUVs and automobiles. It just didn't happen. We can look over thousands of years of history, and we have had extreme cold, extreme heat, long before we started using these fuels that they've mislabeled as fossil fuels. CO2, I believe, has a benefit. By the way, it is heavier than air. It doesn't rise, it falls. How do you get a greenhouse gas? I mean, that's why all these vents in these greenhouses are overhead, not low. They drop down over the crop. And yet the Biden administration, the Trudeau administration in Canada and all over the globe, they're buying into this. And all the surveillance and all the control. You got to stop eating meat. Can't have a gas stove. Now they're coming after certain kind of refrigerators. I mean, they want to put you into tiny little 1950-ish, 1960-ish East German kind of apartments, little drab, dreary things with a tiny refrigerator, a little tiny electric stove in your 15-minute city, owning nothing and being happy. That's what the elites want. And those same elites also want at least half of the population dead in short order, because there are just too many of us. And so all of these ideas of carbon footprint regulations, carbon credits, skyrocketing costs for fuel, eliminating of coal, huge subsidies for these green initiatives, many of these companies that go bankrupt because their product basically stinks, doesn't work as advertised. You know, you can't predict when in very far into the future, and you don't know when the clouds are going to minimize your solar panels, and they take a lot of real estate to make the energy that they do. There's a lot that people just don't understand, but they believe the scary headlines and the pictures of the polar bears drowning, in the, which was all a lie, all of it. And then we're told that when all of this stuff happens here on our planet, the seas are going to rise. You know, if when you think about it, if you look at some of these continents before the ice age, when there was no ice age and no polar caps, the sea levels were lower. There was a lot more land exposed. We're being sold junk science, my friends. And it's nothing but recycled paganism. Worship the planet, not the Almighty God that created it. A living planet, a tribute to a living God. Now, I want to change gears before we get to the bottom of the hour. Another story, and I'm going to talk about this a lot more in the weeks ahead. BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, BRICS. It is a alliance of nations, and I bet you didn't see on ABC or MSNBC the fact that these five nations are now 10 since the beginning of this year. And this organization, I'm looking at a map of where all the countries are and could be, and it's kind of a scary thought. With the added nations, the new joiners, you have Russia, China, India, South Africa, Brazil, and now Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia have joined in. And they represent about 3.8 billion people on the face of the planet, and over one-third of the economies of the world. One-third. Now, the group came together back in 2006. South Africa joined in 2010, and then nothing happened for 13 years until we had a half-witted president by the name of Joe Biden, and their membership went up. And something that was said the other day when they had a meeting, Eritrean president, there's a little country called Eritrea, and it's strategically located on the Red Sea, part of the Suez Canal passageway, which is under attack by the Houthis. In other words, it's a small country. But they're getting tired of playing second banana and second fiddle to the United States. And I want you to hear in just a matter of seconds what the president of this little nation, who I predict will end up in BRICS before it's over, had to say. Listen carefully.
They are not manufacturing anything at all. It's printing money. And this has been one of their weapons globally. The monetary system, the global monetary system, controlled by dollar and euro, has been used. Sanctions here, sanctions there, sanctions there. Grabbing this account, grabbing that account, has been one of their tools. This is not going to continue indefinitely. And we need a new financial architecture globally, not controlled by euro, not controlled by the dollar, not controlled by other currencies.
And guess what? I think he's right on many counts. What does the United States actually produce these days? I mean, really, what do we really manufacture and produce? We still produce many things, but nowhere near at the level that we used to. I go back 50 years ago. We made clothing in the United States. Now it's made in China and Vietnam and other foreign nations. We made electronic goods, television sets, stereo systems, radios, what have you. They all come from overseas. You go to a Walmart store and pick up anything and look at its nation of origin. It's most likely China. And these countries are getting sick and tired of being paid in fiat funny money currency. All we're doing is giving China a bunch of IOUs. And these other countries, more of the IOUs, the oil industry has been based since the 1940s on what's called the U.S. or the petrodollar. And a lot of these countries are getting tired of it. They really are. They want nothing to do with it. Russia started saying they want gold-backed currency. They don't want American funny money. And as the guy said, you know, you get the Europeans who also don't manufacture like they used to anymore. We don't farm, manufacture, do anything like we did in the past. We are consumers, and all the Federal Reserve is doing is printing more money to cover the $33 trillion in debt that the United States has run up in my lifetime. That when it collapses, it's going to be a disaster. Maybe that's why Joe Biden is kind of thinking, maybe we need another war. The one in Ukraine ain't working out. And it's a sad state of affairs when nations like Brazil, India, and a few others, South Africa, look at Russia and others now as the honest broker, not the United States. With Joe Biden in the White House, BRICS that had been sitting in mothballs for 10 years or more suddenly grew legs and grew. And after 13 years of nothing, it exploded under Joe Biden. Because they've had enough of the nonsense, enough of the spending, enough of the debt, enough of being told how they should run their nations. And it's like, you know, we can just abandon your currency and call in your debt, and you guys will have nothing. And we'll have the computers, we'll have the computer chips that you rely on for your own military. They could have the United States and all of Europe over a barrel in a matter of weeks or months. And then you have the idiot brigade in D.C. wanting to send more money to the Ukraine war and actually get into a direct confrontation that could lead to a nuclear war. These people are certifiably crazy. And so BRICS, I believe, is going to be up and coming. Now, the good news is that I believe that a lot of Americans are beginning to see through the lies, whether it's about COVID, whether it's about the economy. You know, I mean, when you go to the store and everything is 20% higher and your paycheck is getting smaller or not growing with it, you know there's something wrong. That's Bidenomics. It's called a stealth tax called inflation to pay down debt. You don't see it in your direct tax bill, but you do see it at the gas pump, or when you go to the meat counter, or when you buy eggs, anything. And these prices go up and down insanely. And I believe that this almost half of the nation's world population and over a third of its value are going to walk away and say, we don't need you anymore. By the way, Russia has got plenty of natural gas and oil. And China and India and Brazil will be thrilled to death to buy it. And not from us. This group of 10 nations plan to replace the U.S. dollar as the primary world currency. And the fact that we have nothing of value behind our dollar means that our nation will be bankrupt. Pretty much North America, United States and Canada, and a good chunk of Europe is on the verge of an economic disaster. And Biden the fiddler just sits there and pretends it's okay, everything is fine. I need to take a break. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I don't talk much about the finances. I really don't. We bring in enough. Our budget is a fraction of some other programs that talk about their budgets. Trust me on that. Of course, I don't need to be paid, and I'm not trying to run a news service to thousands of people online. I just need to cover the airtime bill. And currently, we are on WRMI a number of times a day. We are also on WTWW, and I'd like to even expand into daytime hours. They have a frequency. If we can get enough money going, I want to be on the air like in the afternoon, earlier in the day, with a frequency that covers the United States, Canada, and even into Europe, where this message could be heard in the late afternoon, early evening. That's why we come and ask you for your support. Would you consider this year, if you've been a listener, of supporting us? Go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. There is a tab on the menu for support. We use Give, Send, Go. If not, make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. And I'll share the address again on the other side of this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Following Shabbatai. Coming up, Shalom Alechem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Messiah told his people, you don't receive me, but you're going to receive someone who comes in his own name. That's exactly what happened. Throughout Jewish history, there were no less than 40 false messiahs that were followed. One of the most famous was called Shabbatai Zevi. He declared himself in the 17th century to be Messiah. He was hailed throughout the Jewish world as Messiah. Except as he went on, he started acting a bit weird. He became engaged to a Torah scroll, had a big wedding with him marrying a Torah scroll. Then he declared the Ten Commandments illegal. And yet he was still followed until finally he said, I'm going to defeat the Turkish Empire. Well, the Sultan of Turkey took him into captivity, arrested him, and said, you either convert or we kill you. Convert to Islam. So the guy converted to Islam. That was the end of it. But it wasn't the end of it. His movement kept going. And he's had followers even down to modern times. But as amazing as it is, I mean, as crazy as it was, they still followed him. Well, before you look down on them, you know what? Every day we have a choice to follow the Lord or follow something else. And when you don't follow Messiah, you're following a false Messiah. You may not call it that, but it's the same thing. When you follow the flesh, it's as crazy as following a false Messiah. You keep following, it'll take you off a cliff. You follow lust, same thing. You follow greed, same thing. You follow anxiety, follow money, follow pride, follow the world, whatever it is. It's a false God, a false shepherd, a false Messiah. And it ultimately leads to destruction. So before you look down on these people who follow those crazy false messiahs, look at what you're following. Next time you feel tempted to follow something else, just remember Shabbatai Zevi and get back to following Messiah. Want more? Well, ask for Gamaliel's Prophecy on CD. Now, how'd you like to be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive? Well, or just how about live a super life in God? Well, you can with Sapphires, the super spiritual supplement to turn your walk into a super life with God. Plus the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. Amazing, all free. How do you get this all free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. So to receive your free gift, just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. That's 1-800-YES-HUA-1. Now, I invite you to join me in the Great Commission to bring salvation back to the people who gave you the gospel, the Jewish people, and reach the lost all over the world the most incredible way you can ever spread the gospel through shortwave radio. Amazing. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct at the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, New Jersey, and it's 07644. And until next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Alechem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, the true Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, the Anointed One.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. Real quick, that address I promised to give for the program. The website, of course, Truth, the numeral two, truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there, or a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Now, we've talked about the climate change nonsense. Our world is going to be in a financial disarray, I believe, in the not-too-distant future. People that pretend it'll never happen to the United States are just not paying attention to where we are. A lot of people try to cash in and tell you what's going to happen, but don't buy into all the soothsayers. But I will tell you, the United States is heading... We don't produce anything by comparison to what we used to produce. We just don't. We produce debt. Now, there's a big word out there called epiphany. And that's kind of like being enlightened. And this weekend is, to the church, we celebrate what is called epiphany. And you look at the world today, we need this enlightening. We need to have an epiphany. I want to take you to Trinity Chapel to a message I preached this past Sunday on this topic of what is having an epiphany. Join me in the sanctuary. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time that we gather around your word, Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see, our hearts to receive, and our ears to hear what you have for us today. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of ground to cover today, and I'm going to try to do it in a short amount of time. There's a fancy name for what we're commemorating today. It's called Epiphany. And a lot of people don't know what that word really means, but sometimes you'll hear the expression, man, I had an epiphany. In other words, I was enlightened. My eyes were opened to something I had never seen before or never understood before. And this day is set aside. By the way, I got to mention a little story. When I first got into ministry, and if you come out of certain traditions, Christmas is the first day of Christmas, Christmas Day. And then you go for 12 days all the way to January the 5th. Then the official day for Epiphany is January the 6th. So that song, the 12 days of Christmas, the first day of Christmas is the 25th of December. Of course, Walmart said that Christmas ended 5 o'clock Christmas afternoon. Time to get back to business, folks. Take them trees down and get on with the next holiday or something sale. For years, the church maintained the idea that Christmas began at Christmas. We went from Advent into Christmas, celebrated for 12 days, and then we recognized who this babe in Bethlehem was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as he was revealed to the Gentiles for who he really was. And that's what Epiphany is all about. I remember when I was, I don't know what year it was. All my life, even as a little kid, I was in Christmas pageants. You know, we did that in our school. I went to a Christian school, so we had no trouble at all with a pageant. And what do you normally see in a Christmas pageant? You see Mary and Joseph and a little, well, doll in this case. They don't use the real thing for kids. They're afraid they'll drop a little baby. And then you had shepherds. And what else did you have? Who showed up to the manger? The wise men. How many Christmas cards have you seen where the wise men come up and show up at the stable? They didn't show up to the stable. That came quite a while later. In fact, up to 2 years later. Notice in the passage of Scripture what it said. The house, not the stable. They went to the house where Jesus and Joseph and Mary were now living. They stayed on in Bethlehem for a season. And I remember studying and reading about this, that those that went to be taxed under Caesar Augustus, they were there. They weren't there for the day, registered and picked, turned around and went back. No, that didn't. A lot of them stuck around for quite a while. The process was very lengthy. So the Magi probably first saw the star over Bethlehem to guide them. And it took them all that time to travel from the east to get to Bethlehem. If you continue on in the gospel lesson, Herod had figured out, okay, the wise men said they saw this star appear almost about a year and a half ago. That's why he slaughtered all the young babies under the age of one, all male under the age of one or under the age of two. Jesus had already been evacuated out and on his way to Egypt at that point. The gifts that the Magi bring is something else to be contended with, because each of these gifts have a tremendous amount of significance. Number one, gold, I think, is self-explanatory. Gold is one of the most precious resources known in that day and even today. People invest in gold. Gold holds its value. I can remember something I'm trying to remember. It was J.P. Morgan about 100 and some odd years ago once said, gold is money, everything else is credit. He was right. Gold has always been a valuable resource, even today in computer technology. And all the other advanced technologies of our age rely on gold, along with its intrinsic value, something we make rings out of and everything else that we hold dear. So Jesus is given gold because he is king. He is worthy. The next one is frankincense. Frankincense has two very important qualities. Number one, it is used as incense. Was used in that age as incense in the temple. You'll find churches today that still use it. As the Bible says, as our prayers rise before God, it's like incense. And frankincense, and I have smelled it before, has a very beautiful and very alluring and very mystic fragrance when it burns. But there's something else about frankincense that they knew back then that we're rediscovering today. It has healing properties. Frankincense oil can do marvelous things to joint pain and aches and everything else. Yeah, that's probably why it's getting more expensive. Try to buy it for incense. It's not cheap anymore either. And then the last one, which a lot of people never really have understood, is myrrh. Myrrh had a couple of things it was used for in ancient times. Number one, when somebody died, myrrh was used as kind of it had a very bitter aroma, but not an offensive one, to literally cover a body that had died for obvious reasons. But myrrh had one other quality. Besides being used when somebody died, it also was used as a kind of like a psychopathic drug. What did Jesus get when he was on the cross? He was offered vinegar mixed with myrrh. It would act like a painkiller and a drug. The gifts that the Magi bought him that day at the house in Bethlehem represented his royalty, his authority, his healing, his death. The Magi, for whatever reason, and I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, knew who he was and traveled those hundreds, if not thousands, of miles over a year and a half because they saw that star. Now let's talk about a star for a moment. Ever heard the term star of the morning? Star of the morning. As we leave the church today, we always have what I call, I think Mark Holmes calls it, our traveling music when we go out. I selected Leon Patillo's Star of the Morning to hear as we're walking out of the church. Many years ago, in the beginning of my broadcast career, I accepted a position to do early morning radio at a radio station. That meant that I had to get up around 3 o'clock every morning, get out the door by 3:30 to be on my way to, you know, find something to eat, put together the stuff that I would need that day. This is before the internet and a lot of the ability. I mean, it was not as easy back then. A lot of phone calls to be made, a lot of newspapers to scour through to know what to talk about by 6 a.m. In the wintertime in particular, I can remember many a morning leaving the house at about 3:30, 3:35. Wintertime, you get a clear night. You can see the expanse of all the stars in the heavens. And especially on a night when you don't have a moon, boy, you can see the stars. And oftentimes, in the wee hours, I would have to go outside of the building. One radio station I worked at was located out in the country where they had a big tower site. And I would go outside to recalibrate the weather instruments before sunrise. And I could remember going out there, and you'd see at certain times of the year, the stars are vanishing from the heavens. And you've heard that expression, it's always darkest before the dawn. The stars vanish. Except for one, which happens to be Venus. But they didn't know that that was a planet. To them, that was the bright and morning star that told them the sun is about to rise and a new day is about to begin in daylight hours. Jesus Christ is called the Star of the Morning. He appears before the dawning of this new day, our new life in Christ. One of the most exciting things about understanding Epiphany from this perspective, number one, you see how intricate everything God had orchestrated for his arrival. Number one, he got them to Bethlehem when they were living in Nazareth, by using the power of the Roman government to decide to have everybody shuffle around to different cities for a year or two. He inspired the Magi to understand what this new star that had never appeared before must signify. And they knew it was something special. And the Holy Spirit led it on their heart. This is the Messiah. And they traversed all the way to Jerusalem following that star. The power of the Holy Spirit sent the Magi home a different way, never to let the king, King Herod, know. Joseph and Mary picked up, headed off to Egypt. Still part of the Roman Empire, but out of the realm of King Herod, who only controlled that region of Judea and Jerusalem. And then a while later, God tells them to, it's time to go now to Nazareth. This is the story of Jesus in his early days. And it's funny, the Bible then, it waits a while. You know, the next time you see Jesus, he's 12. And when's the next time you see him? We'll talk about that next week, is when he appears in Judea at the Jordan River to be baptized of John the Baptist. We know very little about Jesus' younger years, but we know his arrival, and we talked about this on Christmas Eve. What is Bethlehem famous for? What was their purpose? Why was Bethlehem such an important place? It's where all the lambs were born for the temple and raised. The swaddling clothes, you know, that you hear about, is what they would put on newborn lambs to protect them from being blemished. Jesus was born where the lambs were born, for the temple. Kind of unique that they couldn't get a room in the inn, and instead, well, you can go over there. That's a decent building. We sometimes look at the building that, or the manger scene and all that, as something really decrepit, but it really isn't. Because these lambs were important. Now, it may not be as nice as a house, but it wasn't quite that awful either. It was good enough for the sacrificial lambs of the temple. It was good enough for Jesus. And he was wrapped in the same exact clothing and cloth that protected a newborn lamb destined for the temple. When you think about just those little factoids, those little parts of this account, how many things had to be orchestrated and orchestrated and orchestrated to fulfill the scriptures and the prophecies that had gone back hundreds, if not thousands of years? As I learned in college many, many years ago, the odds are like 1,000,000 to 1 that any one person or more could ever pull it off. And 1,000,000 to 1 is being very generous. But Jesus did. He fulfilled the prophets, and he fulfills the law. So today, as we come to the end of this year of 2023, getting ready to enter tomorrow, 2024, a new time, new opportunity, I believe also some new challenges as well will come our way. But I want to give you something that is on my heart today. There's something that I've been praying about. And while 2024 is going to be a most unusual year, in my opinion, I believe there's also some tremendous opportunity. Now, I've been facing a lot of challenges, but I have this peace of God, and I've got this. You've got work to do. You have things to do. You have things to build. You have people to train. You have ministry and mission work to do. And I tell my radio audience all the time that quite often what happens is evil takes one step, three steps, five steps forward, and our world becomes a horrible place. But from time to time, we get to get a couple of or a few of those steps back. The pendulum can swing. Maybe in the long run, the overall trajectory is not great. But we do have our victories from time to time. And God has laid on my heart that 2024 is going to be a year of reclaiming some ground back. Now, does that mean that's going to delay Jesus coming? No, he will come when he will come. And we as Christians are always need to be committed to the understanding that we need to be ready for his coming whenever that time may be. How do I complete this message and bring it home where you have something to remember? You don't need to remember everything. Just that everything was in God's timing and God's hands. Everything the Magi did pointed to who Jesus Christ was and still is. King of kings, Lord of lords, our healer, our restorer, who died for us. And at Epiphany, we recognize that Jesus was revealed to the Gentiles, that's you and I, that we too could be grafted into the tree of life. That is the message of what Epiphany and this little season is all about. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this time that we gathered around your word today. I pray for all those that are here today as we end this year and we begin the next. Lord, encourage us, guide us, lead us, and direct us. If there's any part of our life that needs to be changed, Lord, I ask you to repair it in all of our hearts, in all of our minds, in all of our actions, in all that we do. And Lord, we remember this day as we are in this Christmas season and looking at who you are revealed, that you are the child born to redeem us all. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Well, I hope and pray that that message you just heard may have been helpful to you in your walk. Now, real quick, we have a very busy week next week here at Truth to Ponder, and I need to admit that this program today was pre-recorded a few days ago before my immunotherapy began this past Thursday. So you'll be getting updates on that this coming week. If you're hearing this program, that means things are pretty decent. I don't anticipate too many problems for the next 6 weeks, but it's going to be hard getting all the programs done. So keep me in your prayers as I go through this treatment. There's a lot on our calendar for the beginning of this coming year in these first few months. And I really could use your prayers and really to keep this radio program growing, not just going, but growing, your financial support. I was thinking if this program got a fraction of what some of the other news programs were getting, we could expand the airtime. Because, see, I don't need to make a paycheck. I don't try to. I don't want to. I don't need to. The same with my church. I'm not a paid employee at either one. But I believe God has given me the ability to do it, the time to do it, and the personal funding to take care of our personal needs. But the radio, I can't stretch the family budget paying for your radio time, too. And that's why I ask you to be a part of this ministry. I plan on getting a page up in the next week or two with some suggestions you have given for shortwave radios. I believe it's going to be more vital as the days and weeks go by, especially in 2024. I also believe that many people's eyes are going to be open. They're going to see things that they have never seen before. And I believe for some that have been on the fence and not paying attention, they're going to see the truth for the first time. Evil always pushes too far. Just like Governor DeWine in Ohio, who would have thunk a Republican would be vetoing a bill to protect women's sports from men invading in it and beating them up in wrestling teams? But he did. You can't even trust those that claim to be conservatives. They're liars. And I hope that people will see the truth. If you believe in this ministry, use the website truth2ponder.com or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. The mailing address is Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia. The zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. And we will see you next week.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth, 2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.